On Keo, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. Thanks, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, listen, how about we start off like I normally do with most people, with you kind of just giving a little bit of an intro to you, who you are, what your origin story is, kind of lets people that are watching or listening get a bit clued up on your background and what you're doing.
Okay, super. Yeah, well, currently I'm living in Italy. I'm running my own business, sort of, in the sense where I kind of made everything I'm doing into one, like the fitness, my teaching. I originally came over to Italy because there was no jobs for primary teachers. So, I decided to come over to Italy, because there was a lot of jobs for international teachers at the time. So I've pretty much been here since I came, which has been 10 years. So I've made a life over here, and it's just all the areas of my life has just become like one nice niche, you know. Like I teach sports, so I was teaching that at the international school as well as teaching the other curricular areas. And then it's just kind of became from there, like wellness coach. Like a lot of people come to me for nutritional advice. It's obviously I've done my diploma in nutrition, and it just all kind of all ties in really well, everything I'm doing. So I'm really happy with the career side of things. Obviously, with the coronavirus, it put a big stop on things, but it's amazing how much I've actually gained more clients in this situation than what I had in the real world, if that makes sense.
Is that because a lot of people are trying to figure out what they can do to get a better immune system, eat healthy, nutrition, and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Like most people who contact me now are about nutritional advice, also supplementation advice. I've had a lot of parents contacting me even about emotional issues, so mental health issues, maybe talking to the kids about mental health issues, which is something I've never did. It just comes naturally when you're a teacher or as a mother, you know, but now it's actually like how it's actually becoming an issue, if that makes sense. Like a lot of kids are really struggling. I don't think it's really being made that aware of, you know. They're actually doing amazingly well, you know. They're on their lessons every day, but they're so tired. Like they're still doing like six, seven lessons a day to try and keep in with the normal routine, but it's like double the work online. It's literally draining because it's so virtually consuming with your eyes, you know. You're constantly looking and you're looking at the whiteboard online. It's very draining, but they're doing an amazing job. But I can understand why they're getting frustrated. I can understand why they're finding things more difficult than usual. Concentration span is very low, you know. They're not getting outside, and so all those factors.
So are parents kind of coming to you with concerns because they're seeing things in the kids' behavior being a bit different, or is it like what's instigating it?
They were wanting me to, when I'm doing the lessons with them, to have more of an emotional approach with things as well. So maybe starting the lesson, obviously I'm teaching in English. Most of my children speak English as a foreign language, you know. Maybe the odd child is mother tongue, i.e. the mother's English, the father's Italian or something. But most of the time the parents are advising when I do the lessons could maybe discuss also how they're doing as an outsider, because obviously the teacher's like the next go-to after the parents. So it's a good kind of way that the teacher and the parents are working together, and it's amazing some of the things that the children are saying, you know, that how much they're missing their friends, how much they're missing normal life, not really sure about fears and anxieties, nightmares. A lot of the kids have been having nightmares, you know, these kind of things. Probably you don't realize how much, because children are quite close unless you're actually having that dialogue with them. So that's been interesting, and they're doing really well. Like for me personally, I think the children and all of this are the heroes. I don't it's, They're not getting enough recognition just how difficult it is on them, you know. It's difficult enough being a child, especially with all this going on and the new changes.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Not many people are talking about it. That's I never really thought about it that way. I guess you get a lot of people talking about maybe people that are about to graduate school or graduate college and kind of, you know, late teens, but not so much the younger ones. You kind of just assume that a young kid will kind of roll with the punches, and because it looks like they do.
Yes.
It doesn't mean they all are, which is a fair shout. Like, yeah, what's the long-term impact? And that's, I think, people have spoken a lot about the long-term impact of this, but not maybe as much from the vantage point of for the kids. And, you know, I think it's another thing about how there's so much information that we don't know what's what, we don't know what's right, we don't know what's wrong, we don't know what data we can trust, and everybody's giving an opinion that means nothing. And kids are just watching. If any kid is watching any bit of news or like listening to their parents freak out, they're going to be scared shitless, like, obviously. And I think it's more a conversation of, like, you know, the accountability of mainstream media to understand that their audience is also potentially going to indirectly be kids. Maybe the kids don't watch it, but if the parents watch it and freak out, then the kids are going to see mom and dad freaking out. And it's building a generation of children that are going to be like super sketchy if we're not careful. So, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. What's the situation over there in Italy now? Because obviously it was pretty dire before many other places in Europe. So is it kind of coming out of it? Is it still the same?
Well, we went into phase two on the 4th of May. So last Monday. It's not that much different. It's not that much different because I actually thought maybe like everyone would go out like marathon, start running and be all crazy again because we finally get freedom. I think people are actually scared to go out now. So it's like people were scared to be closed indoors and now they have like this like social agoraphobia or something. You know, most of my friends are still reluctant to go out. It's almost like you've been desensitized to actually leaving your home. People have actually become more comfortable sitting in their homes and, you know, just going, doing the shopping every second week, doing their lessons online. Like, for me, it just looks the same as phase one, you know, when we originally went into lockdown. Nobody's jogging. The people that I've seen out, it's like they've got their masks. Well, it's mandatory. There's a £500 fine if you don't wear a mask in your gloves. So everyone's got their mask and gloves on. But for me, it just looks the same. You know, the gyms haven't opened yet, the restaurants haven't opened yet, all of that. So you're not even allowed to go visit your friends. It's only to be strictly parents at the moment. So for me, there's no change. You know, I'm still doing lessons online till September. The schools are closed until then, so I will be constantly online till September. So for me, career sense, it's not going to change that much. And also, in the sense, my family live in Scotland, so it's not like I can go and visit family. My friends, I'm not allowed to visit at the moment. Maybe that will change in a few months. So for me, phase two is just pretty much the same.
It's interesting, isn't it, how like the psychology of people has been shifted so massively in the short space of time, because it's only really been a few months. But then now, like, people have this idea that there's this outside, you know, invisible death that's going to get everyone. And yes, it's been bad, but it's almost like, is it so bad that every man, woman, and child needs to never leave their house again? And now people are... But like, that's the thing. People are so scared they don't know. And then again, it goes back to the misinformation. It's interesting because, like, now they're allowed to go out to do stuff and they're not. And I find that pretty fascinating, that the brain's being rewired.
I know, it's like total catch 22. Like, I just totally expected everyone to be out running. Because when it first went into lockdown, like, people who never went running, like, I mean, it was like, it was like a marathon. There was like people who were sat on their couch for 30 years, and all of a sudden when it was lockdown, I'm going to go run today, you know, and they're all out running. All of a sudden, like, you know, like, I think what's happened is people were really enthusiastic at the start to be strong and positive. You know, everyone was out singing on the balconies and singing all these patriarchal songs, and then all of a sudden now it's like, stomp. Like, people are totally numb. Like, I see it everywhere. You go out, it's like people are looking at you bad if you're even 1 centimeter over the 1 meter margin, you know, when you're standing outside the shops. It's just crazy. You don't see children.
I mean, that's another one that I find interesting, because it's like now everybody's looking at everybody else thinking that they're the enemy without even knowing them. So everybody's prejudging people. Because maybe you have something. And
yes.
I just think the information we've been given is so sparse that it's really hard to know, you know, as the saying goes, your ass from your elbow, because we don't know. But the reality is, I don't know, like, I'm not a scientist, but what's the difference between 1 meter and 2 meters, or 2 meters and three? Like, why did they pick two? Where did that come from? And people are just quick to kind of take whatever they've been told and run with it. And you're like, well, maybe we should question some of these things just because they said 2 meters. Like, why? What's the science behind it? Maybe someone has. I don't know. I'd have to look. But it's just weird that now I think that, like you said, a lot of people are going to look at strangers and look at them with the evil eyes. And even kids. Dogs. I was speaking to someone the other day, and she said, like, her puppy, who normally gets all this attention and people stroke him and love him, they're, like, giving him attention, but they don't want to touch him. So the dog's getting mixed signals, and he's freaking out. He doesn't know what to do.
Yes, exactly. It's the same everywhere. It's absolutely – I know so many people that's had the COVID-19, like, so many – and they're all, like, it's, like, become, like, when you're prejudiced, like, everyone avoids them. It's, like, oh, my God, he's got the COVID, you know? It's, like, incredible. Like, one of my closest friends, her brother-in-law, ended up in hospital and was in a coma. The whole family were totally, like, the neighbours were shouting at the wife because she was putting the rubbish in the bin. She says, you're supposed to be in isolation for 14 days. And she was telling my friend about it, like, how she felt completely isolated from the tribe, you know, from the apartment block. Like, they were so angry with her because they all knew her husband was in hospital. So instead of being compassionate and empathetic, people, like, the fear has, like, overtaken them to the point they're actually becoming cruel towards people who are actually going through a really hard time. You know, it's bringing out the worst. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, this is going to bring out the absolute best in people. I'm like, so far what I've seen has been the complete opposite. Like, people are like lemons. They're like, it's like all the best bits and good bits are coming out at once. You know, it's so...
Yeah, I think it's six in one, half a dozen. I think you're getting kind of a bit of both with people.
Yes.
It's either really, really good or not so great. I don't know. What I find interesting is that you hear the news story about the doctor, the scientist from Imperial College over here.
Yes.
So, like, the whole thing about this guy did all the modeling, which I don't know what he based it on. And his models were the ones that scared everybody shitless in Europe and the States, saying that hundreds of thousands or millions of people are going to die. And he's basing it on no historical data. So he was the one forced this hard lockdown, but then during this hard lockdown he's actually been breaking lockdown himself, even though he was the one that suggested it, and he's been breaking it to run around with his mistress because he's having an affair. and you're like, well, if that's happening, then either A, your modeling was complete bullshit, which is probably the case, or this isn't, it's bad, like, people are getting it, like you're saying, your friend, like, it's real, people are getting really messed up by it, but it's maybe not as bad as they've been suggesting, and the long-term impacts are where it's sort of, I guess, maybe more dangerous, and maybe we can speak to that, because you alluded to it with the kids, right? But there's all these other cases about mental health of the health workers on the front lines, like what happens to, you know, this domestic abuse cases have gone through the roof.
I know. It's the same here. Like, Italy has already been so bad for domestic abuse. Like, every 3 days a woman dies in Italy at the hands of a partner. Every 3 days. This was before the COVID-19. So it's like, it's unbelievable. Like, the levels in domestic abuse cases. And then, like, they couldn't even allow the victims then back into the places. So it's like, even when the domestic abuse was going on, it's like the victims need to stay in the house and just put up with it, you know, stuff like that. Which is insane. It's crazy.
So from a well-being perspective then, let's kind of sort of bring this a little bit sort of full circle. Like, people are probably stuck in still. They may be allowed to go out a bit, but they're afraid to go out. Obviously, we're not scientists, so we don't really have the capacity to comment on the medical side of this. But from a well-being, mental health, physical yes. health perspective, like what are the kinds of things that people can maybe be doing or framing to kind of stay as healthy as possible or to deal with negative thoughts that are going to come up in this time? What do you
think? I think you need to just have a lot of self-compassion for yourself in this period, like, and not put too much pressure on yourself. I think people are really putting a lot of pressure on themselves when they even have a meltdown day. You know, like one of my friends had a really bad day, and because she's always really good, like rainbows and unicorns, you know, everything's always wonderful. It's like she's like, oh my god, like that, this is really affecting me now, you know. And I said, it's completely normal. It's absolutely normal, you know. Like it's going to affect everybody. So it's like when you're having those down days, is to actually a bit of self care, a bit of self compassion, and just accept it for what it is, and know that it's going to pass, and know that you may have more days like that, you know. And I think it takes the weight off of things, when you realize. It's completely normal. It's completely natural. Not to put too much pressure on yourself. Like all of a sudden in the fitness industry, it's become like a weight loss competition. Quarantine, you know, like everyone trying to lose weight and look their best. And I'm like, what for? You know, like we're all stuck in the house at the moment. No one's going to the beach this year. You know, it's like just taking things easy, not stressing out. Yeah, I'm all for becoming more successful and maybe getting into like a project. I found that really good, like having a particular project to keep me concentrated and something to do and to keep routine as well has been so fundamental. Obviously being a mum, like the thing that's worked extremely well for me and Sophia has been a routine. So I treat it like any other day. It's just like the real world has become a virtual world, but I'll still have that meeting, like I'll still have that catch up coffee with my friends via FaceTime. I'll still do my exercise at the time I would have normally done. You know, I'll still maybe do one lesson with my daughter, but I'm not doing like three or four with her. She's 4 years old, you know, she's stressed enough. So maybe going out in the garden, like we have that luxury, we have a small garden. But you know, just little things like that has made such a difference. Definitely taking supplements, definitely exercising, definitely catching up with people. Even like my females have created like a women's group. So we all catch up via the WhatsApp group once a week, and it's amazing. We can all just kind of explain how we're feeling and what's going on.
I think a lot of groups and people have kind of, it's like yes. Some people have just shut inwards and not wanted to talk to anybody. And other people have really found that they've had to outreach, but done creative things and built little groups, or, you know, things have come out of nowhere where people are trying to give back and sort of still have that connection, which I think is important because we all need that.
Yes.
And it's all, I guess, you know, part of that bigger idea of, I guess, a wellness model, right? You're talking about the human interaction and connection. You're talking about the physical exercise. You're talking about having a routine and some kind of discipline. And also, I guess, you know, you touched on supplements, like the nutrition side. And I guess these are all things that we should be doing anyway.
Yes, I agree. But I think more so when we're stuck in a situation like this, like we need to make our environment a lot better. You know, it's like top line behaviors more than ever. You know, it's like when I'm feeling having a low day or something, I need to do my top line behaviors. My top line behaviors are the things that will make me immediately feel better. You know, it's just when you feel that overwhelmingness coming in, or you feel that anxiety coming in. You know, it's so difficult just to even have, instead of going into that spiral, you know, going and having a cup of tea, picking up the phone, phone your mom, you know, any of those things really work for me, and it prevents that spiral, you know, that we all go down when things are not going the way we want it.
That's interesting. So let's talk about this top line behaviors idea then. Is that something that you teach people and that you consciously say to people, like, figure out a list of X number of things that you enjoy doing? And I guess we're not talking here about like have a full chocolate cake or drink a bottle of whiskey. We're talking about, I guess, healthy, beneficial things, right?
Yeah, because when we all get stuck in that spiral, or when we're all having a difficult day, we actually forget to have any sort of self-care, especially moms, like especially full-time working moms. Like I know so many, and it's like even like to go and exercise for half an hour, they think not to do that because it's like they're being selfish, you know, and you're actually not being selfish. Like, it's so fundamental. It's actually for the benefit of your child that you need to do these top line behaviors. So for me, like, the top line behaviors are behaviors which actually make me in a better fit spiritual condition. You know, so it's like, if I'm going on a spiral and I'm constantly like caught up in that negative or that attitude where I'm like, well, this is not great and that's not great, you know, the minute I start doing top line behaviors, which I have my list, I'll just go through them. And if I'm actually ticking them all off, it's amazing how my perspective of the day completely changes, you know, because I'm taking the time to give myself that self-care, you know. And some of my top line behaviors are perhaps like having a bath or reading a book, or anything, you know, something that's so simple that actually we forget to do because we're so caught up with work, we're so caught up in the negativity of it all, or a global disaster, you know. It's like we tune in 2 or 3 hours a day to the news instead of actually taking that time to actually give ourselves a bit of self-care, because this is actually, I think there will be a lot of post-trauma after this. You'll see a lot in schools, you'll see a lot with children, you'll see a lot with the people that's been working at the front lines in the hospitals, patients who's been through this. Like, post-trauma is actually a really recognised mental form of illness, and it really brings a lot of unmanageability to your life, especially for children under the age of 14. So, like, if fair enough, they've not seen anything traumatic, but the imagination of a child is incredible. Like, the fear factor alone, and this has been, these kids have been stuck in the house for 11 weeks, Ashley. 11 weeks stuck in the house. Some of these kids don't have a garden. Most of these kids live in apartments. Milan is just all apartments. So a little small apartment, you know, for 11 weeks. And maybe their mum and dad have not been dealing with it well because it's not easy. So it's like, it's hard. Even a divorce, if you think about the post-trauma a divorce has on the child years later, even when they become a teenager, the effects and the trauma that just from, like, from the parents separating is unbelievable, the effect that it can have. Can you imagine something like this? The effect that it's going to have on a child. And I don't really think it's been talked about enough, but it will definitely come up in years to come, 100%.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's interesting, and I don't know what the answer to that is, because you don't see it until years down the line, and then the kids don't want to acknowledge it because they don't think that there's anything wrong, because they don't know any different, because they were so young when it happened.
Yes.
And obviously we don't know with this because it's such a different thing. Although, like, you used the divorce example, which is kind of something where I was angling from there, from that side, but this is a different animal.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that is. I think there's just a lot of people that are thinking that this is a case of lockdown will be over and then we'll go back to normal. And I don't think that that's the case. Like, even if we go back to some normal in terms of the lifestyle of moving and traveling and, you know, going to restaurants and all that stuff, which probably will take a bit of time anyway, the normal in terms of, like, people's mindsets, yeah, it might be very different for a lot of people. Do you think that'll see? I mean, so the question to that is, like, I could see the benefit of, like, therapy and counseling for a lot of people and a lot of kids, but there's that other side of it where it's a very taboo industry and thing for a lot of people still, because they think if you go to a therapist, you're broken.
Yes.
But it might be the one thing that actually would have a lot of value coming out of this for not just kids, but adults too. Like, how would you see that being traversed? I'm thinking especially around the fact that it's so taboo for people. Like, how could we get around that?
It's so funny. Like, I've been teaching since I was 20. I'm 33 this year. So 13 years I've been teaching. I've taught in Abu Dhabi, I've taught in Milan, I've taught in France, I've taught in the UK, I've taught in China, I've taught worldwide. And it's like every single international school I've been in, or public school or private school, there is never lessons on life skills, or there's never any lessons on how to deal with the feelings. Or, like, I remember there was one school I was in, in Abu Dhabi, where they were teaching meditation, and the kids in that school were the best behaved. I'm not joking. It could have been just a placebo or whatever, I don't know, but I really do think that kids need to have skills and ways to deal with anxiety, to deal with all the stresses of life, you know, separation, parents separating, or bullying, or all these things, you know, and it's so fundamental to have it in school. And even, you know, I remember even my mom and my sister and my grandma, everyone always said this, like when I was doing Pythagoras in school and I'd be getting all stressed about, I'd never used it again personally. You know, I've never used that again personally, but what I would have used a lot would have been everything I've had to learn as an adult, as a grown woman, was like, for me, like, I love meditation. It helps me so much. Exercise, yoga. I mean, I did half an hour of PE a week at school. It's only 1 hour a week for kids here in Italy. That's crazy. 1 hour a week of sport in a school where you're there from morning to evening. It's not a lot. It's not a lot of physical activity. So it's like something really needs to be done, I would say personally, in the school, really promote a certain class which concentrates on health and well-being, your health and your well-being, because really without that, what do you have really if you don't have your mental stability, your physical stability, and even your spiritual stability? You know, you're really ungrounded. So it's really important to home in on the Holy Trinity, you know. That's the way I see it.
I guess the thing is that because education as we know it and college education goes into that as well as just regular school, is a business, it doesn't necessarily benefit the business side of it, and the businesses that are wanting people to come into their companies and have a certain sort of mindset and set of curriculum enforced upon them so that they are then like good little workers, you know, and you can come out and you learn how to like take direction and do what you're told and do an exam and be good and stay within the lines, and then you're able to come out of that system and go into a corporate company, same thing, little cubicle, and that's the model that's been there for you know, God knows how many decades. If you all of a sudden start to bring in, you know, teachings around how to actually manage your finances and how to manage your spirituality and meditate and how to be more creative, I suppose there's the danger that you teach kids from a young age to self-empower themselves, God forbid, so that when they then graduate, maybe not all of them want to go be worker bees and they've got better skills. And I think a lot of kids are able to access this stuff now through the internet and learn from a young age without the systems.
Yes.
But the fact is, like, the systems should be providing that, but there's like it feels like there's a clash of interests, I think, a little bit, you know?
There's a big gap. There's a big gap, especially when there's so many young girls in codependent relationships in Italy, you know? Like, I had so many young teenage girls in abusive relationships coming to me crying because the boyfriend is treating them a certain way, or, you know, all these different, you know, because the girls are getting self-validation from selfies, from Facebook, from social media. There's no real awareness of where the self-validation comes from, and it's from themselves. You know, they've not been educated. They're constantly being educated, and the only way to be someone in this world is if you're good-looking, is if you have a boyfriend that's good-looking. It doesn't matter if he treats you badly. You know, in fact, he loves you. The more he treats you badly, the more he loves you. You know, it's so mixed messages. I really think personally, I would love to personally be able to have the opportunity in my school to do a lesson with the girls, especially with the situation in Italy. I mean, like, every second girl has a codependency issue. You know, and you can see it. I can see it from a mile away.
Do you think a lot of that goes back to very, very old school sort of family structures and ideals of Italian patriarchal families?
Yeah, well, I think there is a big inequality here anyway, you know, like if girls don't get the same wage as a boy, you know, it's like if you even voice your opinion, I write for the female lead. So it's like, I'm really all for the women having the opportunity to have a voice. And I only really got into this, I was never into this in the UK, was when I came here, because you've no idea what it feels like to do the same job as a man and to get a less wage. It's horrible, you know, and a lot of the women were single mums. So it's like they didn't even have a man at home to help with the wages. You know, they're doing the same job, sometimes more, you know, and getting paid less. How does that work out? And a lot of the time, those women who were even voicing their opinion about it were worth that. We don't have anything like Ofcom where you can go in and say, oh, this is happening to me, or I'm being maltreated because I'm a woman, you know, but that is the reality here. I've even had a few friends that had domestic abuse cases, and the police come to the house and it's nothing's done about it.
Yeah, I think that goes back to my point of what happens if you start letting people feel like they're empowered, you know, and I think not everybody likes that, whether it's women, men, or whatever, like, you know, gender aside. I think it's just the idea of, you know, if someone's empowered, people don't like it, or if someone does something that is empowering for themselves, it's that weird thing of a lot of people maybe don't like it, and it triggers them because it makes them feel insecure about their own issues. And yes. A lot of this is really just, you know, people looking externally for answers and not going internally to figure out their shit. And it was a point Lauren made when she came on and spoke, where she was talking about how this is an opportunity with everything that's happening to do that. You know, like, you have the choice not to, but so many of the normal distractions we've had have been taken away because of what's gone on, that you can still find some, like if you want to go and watch Netflix 24/7, that's there. But for a lot of people, it's an opportunity when the distractions aren't there to actually take a moment and reflect inward, as opposed to doing the same old, complain about other people thing.
Yes.
It is interesting. Maybe it's a human thing. Like, did you see that thing, the whole backlash and outrage over Adele posting that picture a few days ago because she's lost all this weight?
I know, it's like, what does it matter? Like, really, what does it matter? And I saw this other thing, it was like Audrey Hepburn was like this massive ambassador, helped all these kids, and it's like the only thing she's remembered for is being pretty. It's like, it's constantly the same. It's like, I don't know.
I think with that, to be fair with that, we're talking about a movie star from a very different generation where that was more widely accepted. I'm not saying that that's the case now or it should be, but I can understand why over time some legacy gets diluted and just remembered for one or two things. And that's what she was known as at the time, in an era where that's what it was. I think now with Adele, it's like, well, can she sing? Because that's like what she's great at. It looks one way or another, is her choice. But what I found interesting was that, you know, people were getting triggered because she's lost weight. And it's like, well, good for her. Why wouldn't you be happy for her if that's her choice and she's living a healthy life and she's taken the time to look after her well-being? People are saying, well, but she was beautiful when she was like she was before. Yes, but it's not about beauty. The conversation is about her looking after her well-being. You can be beautiful either way, but she's looking after herself. And if anything, that's more attractive because she's... not because of how she looks, but because it's attractive in terms of the sense that she is caring for herself.
Yes. This is the same with supplementation. Like, I'm doing this course, and it's so fundamental about taking care of the inside. I have so many people come to the gym, wanting programs to build muscle, taking all these protein shakes, and you know, and girls as well, like, I really want a great butt, and I really want this. Not really, really does someone say to me, how can I get healthier? How can I really improve my heart? How can I really improve my lung capacity? You know what? I really want to have a better diet. I want to have a diet with greens and fruits and veg. How can I incorporate this in the best way possible? Everything's about, I want to build muscle. I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to be, you know, and I'm like, very, very, very rarely does someone actually, and I work in Virgin, I work in The Active, I work in various different chains, so dynamic clients, clients, honestly, from all walks of life, and it's always the same. what they want to look like from the outside. Very rarely do they discuss about their inner health. So, you know,
but you're finding that that's changing a little bit with what's happening now, though.
Now, yes, yes, absolutely. Like, especially we have this scanner that now tests the level of the carcinoid, like the carcinoids in the cell, so it can actually tell your immune system. We've had it for years. No one was interested. All of a sudden, everyone wants to test what the level is.
I don't know much about this. So, what does this actually do? What is it showing you? How does it tell you that your immune system is good or bad?
Well, most of our systems would check your body mass, your fat, your water, all this kind of stuff. Whereas this scanner is like a Nobel Prize scanner. It's the only scanner of its kind would actually test your immune system. So it actually tells you like your level of antioxidants in the system. So you can actually have a person who's extremely thin. It looks really healthy. And you're like, oh, she's really fit and healthy, you know, toned, abs, all the rest of it. And they actually score a really low value. Whereas someone who's actually maybe more informed, you know, formosa, we say in Italian, curvy, and they actually score really high because maybe they're not smokers. Maybe they have a diet that's full of green, leafy fruit and veg, but maybe they're just not really as into their... You actually find people who work out more really score low. Because you actually burn your antioxidant levels the more you work out. So that's why you often see a lot of women quite haggard when they're older, you know, especially like women who are like exercising 8-9 hours a day, like famous actresses and stuff, their face goes because they're actually burning the level of antioxidants in their system. So it's like a catch-22 as well. So you need to have a balance. That makes sense though.
I mean, it's interesting. It's, I remember some of the, before the lockdown was just about to happen, there was a lot of the UFC fighters who train like crazy because it's their job, saying that they had to change it because, like you're saying, they would be immune compromised potentially. But the thing is, like, you look at them aesthetically and you're like, they're crazy fit and in amazing shape and they're athletes and they are.
Yes.
But the flip side is obviously you're burning so much energy and your immune system is going to be weakened because of it. And that exposes you to, you know, all these kinds of things. So what's the right kind of balance here then for the regular non-UFC fighters or, you know, actors that are doing grueling training sessions?
Well, one of my mentors, Peggy Rifle, she deals with like the Olympic athletes in America. She's phenomenal. Anything on nutrition or health and well-being, I always ask her when I'm having that doubt with any client. And she said the main thing is obviously your diet, you know, making sure you're getting a diet that's full of greens and veg and all the rest of it, which everyone knows anyway. But exercise, not to exercise too much. People are overdoing it, you know, just having a routine and sticking to that, you know, without overdoing it, because then comes problems with muscles, joints, you know, overworking out, especially with the athletes when they're training for a big event, you know. They actually get really bad colds before the event because they're burning the antioxidants. So when they do that, so what they do is not to overdo supplementation, but supplementation I've worked out is so key as well. I was never a big one for supplementation, especially when I was younger, you know, I didn't really know enough about it, but I found out that it's really key to exercise, for your health, supplementation, you know, a good diet, and also your mind. Your mind has to be in a really good place, you know, it's fundamental. Meditation, working out, and just keeping a routine, you know, without overdoing it. I managed to do it all, and I'm a mom, I work full time. I write for 3 different platforms, so it's like, and I'm not saying that no other, like, you know, I managed to do it, and I do it, like, there's enough time in the day, you know, there's definitely enough time in the day, there's enough time to do absolutely anything, because the amount of stuff I'm doing right now would turn your head, and it can maybe the odd day get stressful, but if I'm doing it, and I'm doing it in a routine, I'm fine. Totally fine.
Well, that's it. If you have like a cheat day or a not so great day in the morning or whatever, then you have to anyway. But if you're doing your 30 minutes or 60 minutes a day or whatever it is, at least the consistency over time is better than, you know, doing 3 months where you're working out 6 hours a day every day because you think you have to get, you know, beach ready. And that's
yes.
like, yes. that's not a life, that's a life, it's like lifestyle versus event focused.
Yes.
With all of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't call it a diet. Like, I don't call it a diet, I don't call it healthy eating. I just call it, that's life, you know, and it's just become a part of life, you know. I'm not the Monday, I'll start on Monday, no, I start just now, you know. Every passing second is an opportunity to change, you know, to change your lifestyle, and to change the way you think, to change the way you eat. So it really doesn't matter what you've done before that, it's from this moment on. Like, that's how I always think, no matter what I did 5 seconds ago, or if I ate that hamburger and chips, like, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. It's like, what I do from this moment on, you know. And if I keep having that mindset, it always keeps me in the zone. Even when I'm having a bad day, I think, okay, I'm allowed a bad day, I'm having a bad day, you know, I've overdone it or whatever, you know, like everybody does, you know. But I move on. And that mindset has stopped me from going into a spiral. You know, and it stopped me resorting back to old behaviors, you know, because for me, what really works well with me and my clients is changing that old belief system into a new belief system. So, like, they have all, because a lot of our old belief systems are ingrained from our childhood. So it's like, when we can actually change that and create a new belief system, it's amazing how we can just enmesh that into our new lives, our new way of thinking, our new lifestyle. You know, my lifestyle has completely done a 180 since I came to Italy, because I've been around people who are so cautious about what they eat. You know, like, the way I eat now to how I eat at school is unlike how I eat in Scotland. Even when I go back to Scotland, it's so quick how I can resort back to old eating patterns or old belief systems. You know, like, oh, I'm having a bad day, I'm just going to get Chinese, you know, or whatever, you know. And I don't do that as much now, because I realize now that old belief system made me feel worse. You know, I feel much better if I eat something that's more nutritious and more beneficial for me, you know. So it's funny how little things like that change your way of thinking.
It's interesting also that, like, a belief system that was there before doesn't necessarily disappear. It's just that you're aware of it so that you can then manage it. I think sometimes people think that they've got this new belief system that takes ages to implement, which it can do because you're rewiring and going against something. So it's like running against a brick wall. But the old one doesn't necessarily disappear. So if it then crops back up out of the blue one day, you can really judge yourself. But it doesn't mean that it's not there anymore. It's just, you have to be, I guess, mindful of it so that you can make a choice. I guess it's all about just knowing that you can actually make the choices and not be just run on autopilot because your default is to get a Chinese or whatever it might be. With the supplements then, like, I don't know, my naive kind of outsider outlook would be that it would vary from person to person based on their requirements and their immune sort of condition.
Yes.
But are there set ones or sets kind of supplements you would recommend most people? Like, if someone's listening or watching now and they have, you know, they're generally healthy, but they want to know how to just keep that immune system super boosted, what are some key kind of tips or things that they could do with the immune system and supplements?
Well, I've been using supplementation since I was at university. My sister recommended to me the Solgar range and the Patrick Holford ones, and I used them for years and years and years. And do you know what? It just became habit because I really wanted to take supplementation because it was so big. It was in what the doctors don't know and all this kind of stuff, you know, so I got into it. But obviously, when I actually graduated and I'd done a lot of research and I started speaking to other mentors that actually train athletes and who actually have walked the walk and not just talk the talk, you know, and they're not just like marketing. I did the research and all the supplementation. I really looked into it till I'm blue in the face because I don't recommend. I have a really bad conscience, so like I don't like to recommend things to people that I'm not 100% convinced is going to be of any good or use to them. The same with my daughter, you know, I wouldn't give her anything unless I've read the labels 100,000 times, you know, and I've done every research under it, you know, under the sun. So it's like, the ones for me that really like stood out for me, and when I spoke to Peggy Rifle and Peggy Croft, who've been selling these supplementation for years is Pharmanex. It is a marketing scheme, but for me they're the best supplementation. Like, I've done so much research on it. Dr. Mark Gatlin is the PhD doctor for supplementation, you know, he recommends it. They're just really good. It's just the one thing that really it's proven scientifically, the science behind it has proven scientifically that it works. You know, within 90 days, once it gets into the bloodstream on this scanner, your levels go up. It goes up. So it's actually, you obviously need to give it that 90 days to actually get into your bloodstream, you know, because it takes a long, long time for the vitamins and the minerals to actually absorb, up to 90 days, which was a long time. But after the 90 days, I've noticed a massive difference. I noticed a massive difference with my energy, all different things, you know. My mum's been using them. So for me, they're the best. They're the best. But I suppose all supplementation does certain things, but obviously, I don't know if you're familiar with fairy dusting, you know, like something will say it's 100% vitamin C, whereas it's actually just a small liquid drop. You know, it's not full vitamin C. Whereas, the supplementation from Pharmanex is what it is. If it says it's 4%, it's because it's 4%, but you're actually getting that because they've done so many standardized testing that they're so sincere that they won't say that it's 98 or 100. They're actually saying, well, there's only 4% of that in it because there's no other crap in it. You know, that's been completely removed. So you're actually just getting the nut from the monkey shell. You're not just getting all the, like, you know, the pesticides, the herbicides, all that rubbish that goes with it just to get that 4% of vitamin C. Does that make sense? So for me, that's what I like about them.
Gotcha. And what about for just, you know, the more layman kind of person would just go and get their vitamin C or vitamin D tablets or supplements that way individually? Like, how would that be any different to the combined kind of supplementation that you're talking about?
Well, for me, when I first saw the prices of these, I was like, oh my God, no one is going to pay that price. And like, because they're quite expensive. Especially when I can go to Natura C. I used to go to Natura C and I would spend £20, €20 for vitamin C, but it's 1,000 milligrams, because in order to get, like, you need to eat 100 oranges a day to get your recommended amount of vitamin C that your body actually needs. And it's not vitamin C that you need in this period, it's zinc, you know, for your immune system. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm not paying that kind of money for these supplements. I think it's amazing and that, but I'm not paying it. But see, to be honest, it's like I would spend more on a coffee a day. You know, I'd be spending more on that Starbucks coffee a day, and at least I'm getting my whole supplementation that I need on top of my diet. Like, there's no point taking supplementation if you're having a McDonald's every day. You need to be incorporating it and putting it with a good diet. That's where you get the full optimum health.
Sure.
But obviously, if I had to compare the two, you know, like, There's no question with the quality. You know, there's article upon article which states why, you know, why that supplementation. Plus, I love the doctors. I love the mentors. So it's like, for me, like, if your personal mentor or the person you look up to the most is telling you this is how you need to train, that's how you're going to do it. You know, if your coach is telling you, you want to get to there where I got to or he got to, then you need to do this. You need to walk the walk. Everyone's talking the talk. Everyone thinks, okay, I'll pay £4 for these vitamin Bs and I'm okay. It's a reason why it's £4. You know, because how much does laboratory testing cost to make sure that is actual quality supplementation going into your system? Millions. Millions, and then you're selling a product for £4. Come on, no, that it doesn't make sense. So you do pay, what you get is what you pay for, 100%. And that's what I've worked out. You know, I'm all for a bargain. I've always been for a bargain, but I've worked out now, no. Like, you do get what you pay for, and that's what I've realized here as well in Italy. It's the same everywhere. It's about quality.
I mean, yeah, and is that going to vary a little bit for people, obviously based on the level of athletic activity they're doing, per se? So obviously, if you're an Olympian or you're working, you know, say you're a professional footballer, you're probably going to want something like that a lot more because of the kind of immune deficiencies you're exposing yourself to. for people that maybe go to the gym 2-3 times a week and it's a lot more mild and moderate, they might go, well, I don't necessarily need something as intense in terms of the amount of vitamin C that I'm getting in my system. So perhaps that 20 or 30 pound bottle of vitamin C that's much smaller in dosage is enough. Or are you saying that that is actually not got enough in any way for those people too?
Well, the tests that have shown the effects that it can have on the liver, these vitamins that are not, like, that are just being sold left, right, and center, you know, like, people are taking so many vitamins and it's having like effects on the actual liver because of the toxicity levels over time of constantly taking something that has not even really been clinically tested, but just being fully dusted and fired into a bottle, you know, and athletes and why they're athletes and why they're investing money and where they're going to is because they've done the research, they're taking the best, you know, and there's other great ranges too, you know, like I personally prefer this one, but it depends what their goal is, you know. Someone's goal might be to increase their protein, you know, and that might be their goal, you know. They need to develop muscle, maybe they're a boxer, you know, maybe they're doing a certain event where they need to be, like, you know. But, and I do not recommend over supplements. I wouldn't say, well, take that if you want to increase your muscle mass or whatever, and you need these antioxidants because you're not going to get flu, and then you need this and you need that. No, that's not going to work either. You know, it's about common sense. It's about actually working out what is your goal. You know, you need to think what your goal is. And for anyone, I would say my goal when I'm doing a dance event, you know, when I've got an event coming up, for me, it's my antioxidants, because I get burned out. If I'm running after Sophia, if I'm working out 5 times a week and then I'm teaching at night or whatever, you know, it's like, for me, it's not about looking muscle mass toned from head to toe. It's about not catching a cold or having a sore throat. I would like to attend the event. Does that make sense? So for me, it's more about, my inner health, my antioxidants.
And I think a lot of people now, they're basically would be saying, yeah, like, I just want something that's going to help my immune system be strong so I don't get sick as easily or at all.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I've had so many clients approach me, and so many clients when we open on the 1st of June coming to take this scan, you know. So we're actually bombed out with appointments. We never had that before, because it wasn't really of interest. It was more about the physical appearance. So I think this will be the way forward. I think this will be a big wake-up call for people to get more into their health, more into their well-being, not just their inner health, but their mental well-being as well, which is probably the most fundamental. I think when you can sort up here, everything just falls into place, you know, because you rationalize, you realize that okay, I need to do A, B, C, and D, and I'm going to be okay. And then just do it. It's pretty simple, you know.
Yeah, love that. I think that's a nice way to kind of round things off and sort of surmise it. I think it sort of brings the whole conversation full circle. But it is super interesting, especially all the stuff on, yeah, nutrition, supplements. supplements is a new thing where you mix the two. But it is interesting. I think, you know, not everybody has looked at it sort of in a global scale. And I think you're right. There might be a bigger shift towards this idea of health and fitness, not just being hitting the gym, but also, you know, checking your diet, making sure that your immunity isn't compromised, and how can you go about efficiently making sure that it's strong and healthy. Especially, like, you know, forget going for an event or day-to-day life. If people maybe want to travel, they're maybe going to have to consider things like that in the future. If I'm going to go fly somewhere, do I need to make sure that I, you know, for a few weeks prior to that, I'm really focusing on my immune system more than normal until we figure out this whole thing?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, look, is there any kind of, I guess, closing things that you want to round off with, any kind of final remarks, and also, I guess, a chance for you here in the last few minutes to just give a shout out to, you know, anything specific you have coming up, or where people can connect with you on social media. I guess just, yeah, your chance with a few moments to kind of box this off here for us at the end.
Yeah, well, Well, as I say, I work at Virgin. I work at New Olympia Palestra in Bunzago. So those are my two main gyms. And you can follow me on Facebook, which is Dawn Jane Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. And I have my own Facebook page, which is DJK Motivate. So anyone wants any information or further info, then they can contact me via that channel. I'll also be a columnist with the ERJ Advertiser and Coatbridge Advertiser, which is the newspaper for the Daily Record. So that's going to be a new thing for me, which I'm getting into, which has actually came about as a result of some of the clients I've been working with. My little daughter and I, we had an article in the Daily Record for taken aback that they wanted me to actually become the columnist for the paper. So it's amazing how, when you're so passionate about something, how other things open up. So yeah, you can follow me in those areas. That would be great.
Awesome. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Any final kind of, I guess, remarks or kind of, you know, one key thing that someone could take away from this whole conversation as a final soundbite?
Yeah, take what you want from it and leave the rest. That's all I've been doing lately. You know, I've just been taking what I need and leaving the rest and not getting caught up with any criticism or judging. You know, I just take what's beneficial and I leave the rest. And that's just how I've been managing to go on with everything in a really positive way.
Awesome. Well, Dawn, thank you so much
for
coming on. It's been a great chat.
Thanks,
I'm going to leave you to it. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, take care.
See you later. Bye.